Welcome to season 3 of the Do It Right podcast. We are so excited to bring you our first episode. This is our introductory episode, but before we begin, let's introduce you to the team. My name is Ramsha. The interest I want to go into, I don't know right now. My dream podcast guest is Dr. Ken Jeong, the comedian slash doctor. And my favorite podcast right now is Rotten Mango.
Hi, I'm Zina. My specialty interest is internal medicine. My dream podcast guest would be Carlos Sainz. And my favorite podcast is Anything Goes with Emma Chamberlain.
Hi, everyone. My name's Stolisi. My specialty interest as of right now is internal medicine. That could change. Dream podcast guest would be Snoop Dogg. And my favorite podcast right now is Radiolab.
Hi, my name is Joel Barreto. My specialty interest is going to be cardiology. My favorite podcast is Armchair Expert. And if I could have anybody on my podcast, probably be like Shaggy. That'd be cool.
Hi, guys. My name is Kavisha. Right now, my specialty of interest is OB-GYN. My dream podcast guest would be Zach Murphy, aka Ninja Nerd. Favorite podcast currently is The Nocturnist.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tina. The specialty of interest I have is anesthesiology. My dream podcast guest would be Ashley Flowers. She's the host of my favorite podcast, which is Crime Junkie.
Hey guys, I'm Zohair. My interest is probably internal medicine and specializing afterward. And then my dream guest would be Gordon Ramsay to talk about food and just give us advice. And then the show that I like to watch right now is Crime Junkie.
All right, since we've heard from the team, let's get into the questions now.
My name is Jacqueline Robichaud. I'm a OMS1 here at Cary. And I'm just wondering, what is your overall study schedule? And at what point did you feel like you could tackle it, if there ever is that point?
This is a great question. So my answer to this is yes. And it sounds crazy, but as a first year, whenever I was a first year, I think it was very overwhelming. But as you take it day by day, you realize that there's actually more time in your schedule than you realize. What do y'all think?
No, I definitely think that. Like, I remember the first few weeks and like the first exam, it was tough. Like, I thought that I didn't have enough time. There was so much material going on. But as we like went throughout the semester, it got easier because like you kind of get into the groove of it, everything.
Also, you have to remember you're not doing this alone. You have your classmates who are also doing it with you. So reach out to them and you're, like I said, you're not by yourself.
It's like drinking from the fire hydrant, the analogy. Like, it seems impossible at first, but you can do it. And the most you can do is like bit by bit.
Also, you're running in a terrain you've never been in before. You're still finding your pace. Give yourself that room to find your pace and find your way.
Hello, my name is Kira DeAriano. I'm an OMS1. And my question is how do you guys maintain balance while in med school?
So personally for me, I like to use a planner, try to make sure I schedule time for myself, time with friends and family, but also at the end of the day, I know I have a set schedule I need to follow and try to reach that goal by the end of the day.
For me, the balance comes from just being like having deadlines for myself and knowing having cutoffs. So by 10, I'm done studying. I'm winding down for the night. I'm calling my parents. I'm watching TikTok. I'm doing whatever that keeps me sane. And knowing that, just not feeling guilty for taking breaks and knowing that I'm done studying, my brain can't take more. And yeah, that's about it.
I try to have a realistic goal for that day because if you look at the overall deadlines and what I need to, like, what we need to do, it could be a lot. But having, like, I need to at least get these two things done. If I did those two things, I feel accomplished for my day. And I think that's how you can break up all of the big load we feel whenever school really starts.
It's also really satisfying when you mark something off your to-do list, like, okay, I accomplished something.
It's also important to like have grace. Sometimes days get busy and you get overwhelmed and sometimes balance is not achievable and you have to have grace with yourself when those days come. Like, take rest days, take mental health days. I think those are important too.
Yeah, I think it's really a matter of balancing your studying with like free time for yourself. You really can do it if you plan your day out and you say, I'm going to study these lectures today. That way you don't get too far behind, because being really behind is the worst thing, really, because that's when you start feeling suffocated and you have to just burn yourself out to get everything done. So balance really can be achieved, but it's really up to you to organize your day. And I think having a weekly planner really helps.
My name is Tomi. I'm OMS1. A question I would have for a second year is, how do you kind of balance school and also having free time, how to also kind of maintain your mental health or keep yourself grounded? Like, what do you do to kind of maintain that? Yeah.
My favorite thing after exams is whenever my friend group, we all get together and we basically have a girls' night, or we like to go out for dinner, something fun for that whole day of Friday. There's no school involved. And then if you want to pick up back with studying, you can do that Saturday and Sunday. But Friday, like after exams especially, was the time where it was me day and just self-care.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was always the one that was like, what are we doing after our exam? Because it gives you something to look forward to while you're in the trenches studying, wishing you weren't here, but you have something to look forward to after your exam.
Especially if the exams are week by week, you're never gonna get that, I guess, big sigh of relief that I'm done. But that afternoon or evening is whenever you have that time. So I think it's very important to take those opportunities whenever you get them.
You also may progressively lose it, as it's what happened to me last semester when we had weekly exams and my mental health was really going through it. I think the thing I prioritized was, I'm a med student, I'm learning about health. Why am I not prioritizing my own? Like, mental health is part of your health. Dietary health is part of your health. You're not just here for academics, you're here to understand health holistically. And when you put that investment and time in yourself by doing things regarding your self-care, it will benefit you in the long run.
I think my favorite things to do is either it'll be a gym day, or we would have movie night like we talked about.
Hanging out, like chilling with friends, just getting your mind to relax in a place where it's not like anxiety.
I think one time we did face masks even. Yeah. It's just fun, but I think something that you really enjoy and keeping yourself engaged in your interests.
Yeah, I think something I would do would be go to like a park, go for a hike or something like that. I'd go paddleboarding, just go outside. I like hammocking too. So like, I'll just go outside, read a book, just take time away from like class and all that to just de-stress.
Yeah, I think my friend group and I, we really try to embody like that work hard, play hard mindset. Like at Fridays after the exam, we commit to not studying at all because we need a break. Like, you grind out the rest of the week. So Fridays, just literally, we just hang out, go watch a movie, you know, get some pizza, hang out at the crib, play some games, go to an escape room, axe throwing, whatever it is, a different thing every week. Just kind of make sure that you're not loitering around too much. Like, take breaks as you need. That helps with your well-being. But then really setting aside time and being like, I will have time to have fun this week. That is like a huge reset. Whatever it is for you, if it's gardening, if it's any hobby you have, that's how you do it, I think.
Well, first of all, my name is Runa. I am an OMS1, super excited to start class today. Mm-hmm. My question that I would have would be, what is the best way to integrate all the materials, you know, understanding for FMM, we have, you know, three different subjects on one exam. So what does that look like for, you know, integrating and studying to get the, you know, the most memorization of our material?
Okay.
Especially for first year, given that we have tests almost every week and for different classes, I just study that class that week. I know that's like really bad advice and you have to kind of put the other classes on the back burner, but just stay up to date with that class, watch all the lectures, read through them at least once. And then your second and third passes, integrate third party resources if you have to, because second year, it's all going to come back. Just try your best to stay on top, but if not, take it one class at a time.
I agree. Definitely take it one class at a time. For me, I try to follow the school class schedule. From there, I prioritize whatever tests we have coming up that week. So for me, it's like try to get done with the classes we had today, and then after that, focus on the upcoming exam.
I also use the pass system, and when I do the pass system, I try to save my first two passes, like at least do them a week before any material I'm being tested on. Your first two passes will always be your longest passes, so build the most time in your study schedule for those first two passes. When you get to your third, fourth, if you have time, maybe even fifth pass. It's rare. I never made it to a fifth pass. I barely made it to a fourth pass. But if you make it to that, you know, you will be able to do like one pass, that fifth pass, and maybe even 30 minutes less than that. So
yeah, I agree. I also try to squeeze in Anki. Anki is a great way to like refresh over some of that material. So I always plan my day to add in like 30 minutes of Anki in the morning, at least 30 minutes at night. And that always helped me.
I really like this question because I think it kind of speaks to how the first semester is really about how do you learn best? And I think you kind of have to like go through it and plan your study schedule and figure out how it works. For me, what works is I sit down at the beginning of the week and I list down every lecture I have for the upcoming week. We have lectures this day. So on that day, I need to get that done. So that helps form the study structure right there. And then on top of that, I think about, am I behind on any lectures? And then I add that in. And then it's like, okay, I have an exam this week and next week. So I try to look at the following week and the week after. That way I can put it in there. So I really try to list out a to-do list. And I love using Google Calendar for this because it really keeps you accountable and you can see it exactly on your time. And I use Google Sheets to keep my tracker of the different plans, every lecture listed out, and then past one, past two, past three. So when it comes down to a study schedule, I think that that's the way to do it, or at least give it a shot.
My name's Aparna. I'm an OMS 1 student. And my question is, how do I get prepared for my first OMM practical?
So for OPP practicals, I would say practice. Practice is the biggest thing. Practicing actually prepares you for the actual written exam, and just you then when you know the points and stuff like that, then it's easier to take that written exam. But practice with a lot of people, different people, go through the techniques. We used to do it my first semester, I think. I tried doing it 2 weeks before the exam, and I just slowly get all the techniques done, and I think that was the best.
For the test, I would say when you're practicing, try to practice with as many different types of body types as possible, because you're going to walk into that test and you might be used to a certain body, and then finding like the spinous process on a different body might be different. It might be higher or lower, and that will throw off your whole diagnosis and treatment. So just try to get used to practicing with as many bodies as possible.
Yeah, I think definitely going into the lab together with a group of friends, classmates, and then making sure that you have reviewed the PowerPoints ahead of time, and then you guys kind of figure it out, because it will take time to practice all the techniques. You're not going to get it instantly, so you have to give yourself some time to really consider, like, what am I doing wrong? And you got to critique each other, and I think that's the best way to really know what you're doing. And then you walk into that exam room, you're going to have the confidence to do that right, because you've already done it 5 times minimum, and all your friends have told you what you're doing right and wrong until you perfected it.
I think for any practical, you need a rehearsal. You don't see a play without the actors having done a rehearsal, unless it's improv. But even for improv, you rehearse before you go on stage. Rehearse before you do your practicals. If you have an SP, a standardized patient, you have to know how to talk to them. What if they say something that you aren't ready to hear? You need to have those responses, or at least you just need to have those responses built in.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Like, if you literally plan it out for yourself, and that way, no matter what circumstance you have, you'll be good. When it's an impromptu and the professor pops in and gives you this, you're good.
And it's muscle memory as well. Whether it's for like a standardized patient or OMM, once you have that muscle memory, no matter what questions you're asked during that practical, you'll be able to perform well.
No, I definitely think that for sure. Like, muscle memory definitely comes into play, because once you practice so much, it just comes natural to you.
Okay, I'm Isaac Bryan. I'm a first year here at William Carey. I'm super, super excited. Right now, I'm trying to figure out the best schedule and what studying techniques will work best for me, because I talked to a lot of second years in the past few days, and they all suggest similar things, but there's some one-off things that I think could work for me, but I'm not sure which one to tackle. I'm scared to go down the wrong path and waste time trying to use one resource that wouldn't work for me.
Honestly, as a second year, I'm still learning how I don't get overwhelmed with all the resources with Boards and Beyond, TrueLearn, AmBOSS, Sketchy, YouTube, the lecture PowerPoints. I think it's very overwhelming, but I think take one thing and then go with it. You can't do a little bit of everything, because that's whenever you will feel that overload, because you won't prioritize your time well. But I think sticking to one thing and taking your time on it would give you the best results.
I totally agree. And just to bounce off of that, if you're using one resource and it's not working, don't stick with it. Find something new and work on that. Like, for instance, I'm like a very visual learner, so I will watch YouTube videos, just search something up and learn that way. Not everyone's like that. Some people like doing Anki. If Anki's not for you, it's not for everyone. Like, find something that works for you.
And I think it's a lot of trial and error. I think first year is whenever I was trying to get my groove, and it's gonna come with, unfortunately, I wasted my time trying to figure out Anki in the beginning, but then it worked for another class for histology and just anatomy. But it's something that I had to figure out on my own and spend some time with. So that's just, I guess, comes with the process, I guess.
Also, if someone else is doing something, don't feel like you have to do it just because other people are doing it.
I think a good way to manage that resource overload is talking to like people older than you in the previous years and getting advice on what worked for them. That way it's not like you're going through all of it alone, because they can tell you, hey, Anki works for this class, Sketchy is very helpful, or like, don't even do those other things because it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I normally just looked at the presentations, honestly. I didn't really use third resources or something like that. If I didn't understand the PowerPoints, I'd go to YouTube and Ninja Nerd, like just type in anything and it'll show up and it'll help you. But mostly the presentations for first year, because those are what the exams are coming off. You're not getting board style questions your first year. So I'll just go off the PowerPoints.
Yeah, I have to agree with Jarrell. The PowerPoints are some of the best resources you will get. Like, your professors are making the exams and yeah, they are the best resource. I was the type of person where I wanted to buy all sorts of textbooks, all sorts of subscriptions to Anki Hub, Boards and Beyond, Bootcamp, etc. And I ended up spending a lot of money, and I didn't actually fully utilize all those websites. So I think don't feel the need to have everything. If you hear this worked for me from someone else, try it out. Try the free trial before you buy anything and see if it works for you.
I also think that's the beauty of having study groups, because if one of your friends is trying a resource and it works well for them and they're able to learn from it, they may be able to teach you the mnemonics that they learned from Ninja Nerd or Dirty Medicine. And if you guys collaborate, you can tackle it all.
My name is Abigail Bryant, and I am a first-year medical student. I am super excited for all the hands-on stuff to actually get to apply the pre-med things and actually do what I want to do. And my question for the second years is, what were you like most excited about, or what was the best part of your first semester?
Winter break. Being able to go home. No, seriously, I think cadaver ball was really fun. We got to dress up in our costumes. My friend group, we all dressed up as cadavers. So we wore, what was it? Muscle suits, basically. And we went. That's something that was really fun. What about you?
My favorite memory from first semester was one of our early group study sessions. It was very early on, like early August 2024. So it was the U.S. versus France. I think it was France, like the Olympic basketball game. And we had the game playing on the side while we were studying. And right at the end, like when they were about to win, we were freaking out. And Steph Curry hit the night-night. It was an iconic day.
Okay, so my favorite part of the first year was actually comp prom. Just being able to dress up and feel like a human again, and just like not having to wear scrubs, and like seeing everyone in like their cute little dresses and stuff, and our professors. It was just like a very like fulfilling night. And just had a great night.
It was such a great night. I feel like the DJ was awesome. Like, everyone was having a good time. The energy at that point, we were having exams like once a week. So everyone was just ready to like let loose, have fun. It was great.
It was also after our first three subject integrated
exam. I think it was our first exam or second, but we earned that break. It was a very fun night.
Yeah, it was really good to see all your classmates like actually like let loose. Like that stress was gone. Everyone just vibing. People you didn't see often, you know, even people like studying at home, they came out and you were like, yo, let's like just have fun. Because like we're still human. Like Kavisha said earlier, like we're here to study and be doctors, but we still want to, you know, have fun and enjoy life a bit. And then honestly, like switching gears entirely for me, something clinical was every time we came out of like the one of the CAs, those practical like patient care exams where we like had a standardized patient and we had to like figure out what's wrong with them and just go through the motions of like being a doctor, like actually examining them. That like feeling coming out of that room with the white coat, knowing that you just nailed it, is like, wow, that is what it's like to be a doctor and to treat patients.
To hop off of that, after my first, I think, encounter in the spring, the resident who was grading me, he said he would have wanted me to be his doctor in the future. So just that was one of the best feelings in the world, especially when you're in med school and sometimes you do deal with imposter syndrome. Like it made me feel like I belonged here and I was doing what I was fulfilling my calling, if you will.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I feel like that's the thing that's really important with us. We have to remember, like, we are meant to be here. We are going to become doctors. You just have to take it one step at a time. Don't give up, guys.
My name's Elena Moore. Day one, whoop, whoop, very excited. I would say my question for the second years is, what is something that you were super nervous about going in, but when you got to the end of first year, you looked back and were just, like, really excited that you overcame it?
Something I was definitely nervous about in the first semester was definitely OPP. That first exam was, I think, made all of us nervous. We had a practice session, not sanctioned by the teacher, professors, or anything like that. It was like more of the club. It was a OPP club that we had in school. And our whole class turned out for that. Like, oh, yeah. Everybody was in that room. And I don't think they were expecting that many people because there were only two of them there. I think Dr. Worthington had to come in because we were just so many people. I think everybody was just...
We were so nervous.
Right. It was insane.
I can say definitely for me, the thing I was nervous about was OPP. It was like very new. I didn't know how to navigate the situation. So I was going to tutoring. I was showing up to OPP club. I was trying to get all the information I can. But once I finished and I received my grade, because even after I walked out of the room, I was like, I don't know how I did on this thing. But once I received my grade and it was a pass, like I was so hyped.
I was nervous about anatomy lab. Like going into a cadaver lab, having to dissect like a human body was not something I'd ever done before. But then at the end of it, you go in, like the smell is not even like, it doesn't even faze you. And like looking back, you're like, oh wow, like we did that. That was kind of cool.
No, I have to agree with anatomy lab. You don't realize you're with, I guess, your first patient till you're around them. And how do you get past it when you start? But I have to agree, like the smell, it was overwhelming. Our professors, they were wonderful. They were absolutely wonderful about it.
And like after a couple of weeks, you voluntarily go on the weekends and spend your weekends with these cadavers.
Oh yeah. Like actually the first time in anatomy lab was scary because almost everyone there has no experience in anatomy lab. They have no experience cutting anything like that. I remember in our group, we had like five people and there's one person who had done like a master's. We were like struggling to open the scalpel, right? And then like he was telling us, okay, you need to cut here, you need to like do this like this. No, you're holding the scalpel wrong. Like, no guys, you got to do it this way, or like make sure you're cutting like blunt. Like everyone had the tendency to go in with like the sharp blade. You guys remember that, like the scalpel? Because it's like we're cutting. And he's like, no guys, blunt dissections are really important. And then that was just like so scary. But after that first lab, it was kind of fun, wasn't it? Like, don't you think it was?
Oh, it was really fun.
And then afterward, like, you can kind of see, like, some people really enjoy cutting in the lab. Like, I'm one of those people. And it's fun. And I thought I'd never be that person.
I don't know. I felt like anatomy lab, it gave me the opportunity to be a girl boss, especially when cutting through bones, you had a drill of sorts. And Chita saw me. I was the one drilling my patient's skull. And we took out the brain, but I was the only one doing it at my table. I was one of the two girls in the room that did it. And it felt really great.
Yeah, anatomy was awesome. That was something I wish I could have done, was the pro section team, where they have some of the students stay over summer to help with the cadavers. That's really cool, but definitely anatomy. That was one of my favorite classes.
My name is Noah. How do I navigate having a relationship during medical school?
So I did meet my boyfriend in med school, and that was a lot because I'm not used to dating like that. But it was actually really, it was a blessing in disguise. He was my break from studying. He was my distraction, a good distraction. And we would always plan out dates after tests, and that gave me something to look forward to. So that also helped balance school and life because I realized I can't be studying all day. And so when I did get to spend time with him, I didn't feel guilty at all. So yeah, like, it's you can have relationships in med school, just don't lose sight of what matters and just balance it.
Yeah, for sure. Balance is important. I feel like you make time for what's important to you. So even if it's just like texting family to say, hey, I'm studying, I'll talk to you later, give them updates. But it's really important to keep in touch with people. As far as like friendships and so forth, if you text someone and can just tell them you're thinking about them, people know that you're like super busy, you're studying all day, you're up all night, your hours are weird. But as long as they know that you are reaching out, I think most people recognize that and appreciate it.
I can piggyback on that. I feel like a lot of my friends know that, like at least the ones at Wisconsin or Tanzania, like they know that I'm have busy hours. I'm up until like 3 a.m. studying, and they know, like they'll send me a text like motivating me and be like, hey, you got this. Like, I can't wait for you to become a doctor. And just like in my romantic relationship, like she's in Wisconsin, we're doing like long distance right now, and she knows that like I'm going through a very stressful time right now with just school, and my hours are not going to be the same. So we have a set schedule. Like maybe we'll talk like one day I'll give you like, you know, a night where we can have a date night. And like most of my breaks, I'll go and see her or she'll come see me. But I think just having that support, like I think relationships are a really good support system. And especially my family, like they will text me all the time, just motivating me, and I love them.
Well, Tina and Gerald, you guys got me thinking, like the friends that we have here in med school, we have to take care of how we interact with them too. You know, everyone is stressed all the time. So it's like when you are hanging out, you get that, you know, rare opportunity to, or you plan to hang out, just like be nice to everyone. Like everyone is stressed. Like don't always have to be yelling about school, like this sucks or I'm stressed out, because everyone's kind of in the same vibe. And I found that in my own hangouts with friends, when everyone's like, yo, we're not talking about school right now, like, we're just going to hang out, chill, be people. Those are the best moments. And that's really keeps the relationship strong, especially when people are stressed. And when they are, you're still their friend. You want to help them out. So be positive. You know, like Jarrell said, like texting each other, that really helps in medical school too. Be like, yo, that exam was difficult. I'm just seeing, like, do you want to go grab some food real quick? Stuff like that. And when someone's like, yo, I'm so far behind, be like, hey, let's meet up and study. And I think that kind of really helps with those relationships.
My question is, what are the best Hattiesburg eats?
My favorite place, and all my friends will tell you, I'm literally like a walking ad for Petra's. If you ask me any day of the week, what are you eating for dinner? It's Petra's. If I'm not eating at home, 100%, I'm eating at Petra's.
No, Tina's right. Petra's is one of the best places around here. Some of the best Greek / Middle Eastern. The chicken kebab platter is my go-to order.
No, the chicken shawarma.
Nah, lamb shawarma is definitely worth that. It's super, it's yeah, right, Jarrell? Yeah. Because this restaurant is close to campus, so, you know, when we're just busy and we're done studying, we're starving, just go to Petra. Anyone's down all the time.
Low-key, I had Petra's before we recorded this, guys.
Yeah, it is open till late.
Well, if we're talking about close to campus, my go-to is Jutama's, which is a Thai restaurant.
Dude, those drunken noodles that they have in the Thai, pad Thai, banger.
I definitely, my favorite place to go is Boston Fish and Wings. Yeah, like they're open till 10, but they got some good food.
Mine's is this place on Hardy. It's a sushi, all-you-can-eat sushi spot, Eco. They're really good, and it's like, you get like, you can do all-you-can-eat like for $20 for lunch, and it's really good sushi.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, Milano's Pizza in town has the best pizza. Like, they've got all kinds of meat. They just, like, layer it up with meat. It's just so good. The sauce is generous. Milano's, like, you gotta try it.
I've never heard of Milano's. Anyone else heard of
it? I've had Milano's. Milano's is pretty good.
Someone's gotta mention Mock-On's. Like, have y'all been there? It's, like, Cajun-inspired food. Like, Louisiana food. Like, it's straight-up Cajun. Oh, my gosh. Their sandwiches are amazing. I love, like, the shrimp, like, po' boys they have. Oh, gosh. Amazing.
I've never been to the one here, but for sure the one in New Orleans I tried is good. And that's the other thing we didn't talk about. Like, Hattiesburg has some, you know, some places, but the great thing is we're not too far from New Orleans and you get some really great food there.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny because like Slidell is the nearest Chipotle and like everyone loves Chipotle, right? So there's none in town. Me and my friends, we're like, yo, why is there nothing here? We were like, we got to go find Chipotle. It took us 3 months and then we all drove after an exam, went to Chipotle about an hour and a half away and then came back.
Well, guys, that was the end of our very first episode of season 3. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for everyone who gave us questions to answer. I hope it was entertaining, and we look forward to seeing you at the next one.
Questions? I'm still trying to figure out COM 1, 2, and 3, honestly.